Do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you are here to do something wonderful with your life? Do you feel that call deep inside you to bring your sacred healing gifts and transformational knowledge to the world around you? Do you want to feel inspired as you build your business doing your beautiful work? Do you want to learn how to build a successful spiritual business? Well then, you're invited to listen in to the Divinely Intuitive Business Radio Show, where we explore how fun and easy it can be to build a strong, abundant business while at the same time staying deeply connected to the divine using your intuition, your own sixth sense. Join the irreverent Reverend Ann Presswell as she and her guests explore the many ways you can build a deeply connected, authentic, powerful spiritual business making money without feeling like you've sold your soul. You are here to get your gifts out to the world in a powerful, abundant way, and your people are waiting for you. Let's help them find you. Now, here's your host, Reverend Ann Presswell.
Well, hello, 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 Divine Ones. It's so great to have you here, both live and those of you who are listening later. This is Reverend Ann Presswell of the Divinely Intuitive Business Radio Show. And I want to welcome a special guest today, Marisa Ferreira. And before we do that, we're going to bring in together our intention, getting very clear about what we would like to create with the divine within this next little bit of time together. So take a nice deep breath in and know that whatever you choose to create is moving out from you into the world around you with power, with grace, with elegance, with love. And so it is. Today's angel card, I haven't picked an angel card yet. I'm just sort of hanging out with it for a minute. Okay, here's the one that showed up. Today's angel card is the Business Brilliance card. It is about I completely trust myself and my connection to the divine to build my business brilliantly. So, you know, relationships, which is what we're going to really talk about today. So a little bit about, well, it's about relationships, but it's mostly about our relationship with ourselves and how that how that shows up in our relationship with everybody else. Today's call is all about how you can transform your business and relationship conflicts into deeper connections. And I don't know about you, but, yeah, we all have conflicts, right? I don't know anybody who avoids them. I honestly don't. Well, today's guest is Marisa Ferreira, who is a relationship mentor, a life mentor, and she is the author of a beautiful new book, Magnify Your Magnificence. And Marisa has often been described as someone who's very loving and compassionate, very non-judgmental. She understands the pain of feeling stuck, of unworthiness, of feeling incapable of achieving her dreams. But she created for herself this incredible relationship and an incredible lifestyle that is beyond what she imagined was even possible. She's going to talk to you today about how you can do that. We're going to really focus it in around your business, but I got to tell you, when you apply this, wherever you apply it, it's going to be showing up in all areas of your life. What brings Marisa the greatest joy is to just really helping others see how truly magnificent you are. First, you got to find out what's stopping you from actually recognizing that within yourself. From having the relationship, from having the business that you long for, from having the abundance, from having the clients that you long for. And then she's going to share with you some tips and strategies that are going to support you in creating your life to match your heart's desires. So having said all that, Marisa, welcome to the call.
Hi, Ann. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
I know. I'm so thrilled to be here, too. Hi. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about, tell us your story, your very own story about how, you know, how you sort of got a clue, if you will, you know, got from where you were to where you are. What happened? Tell us your story.
Well, there's a lot of stories I could tell. Sometimes I feel like I've lived many lifetimes in this one physical incarnation, but probably where I first got started was way back when I first went to college, because up until then I was a very unhappy adolescent, didn't have a lot of friends, really felt insecure and had no self-confidence and no self-esteem. And I put a lot of importance on moving away from home and going to college, thinking I have a new beginning, I can start fresh, nobody knows me, and I can create something new and make new friends. But what ended up happening was the same thing. I still was feeling very much alone and not making friends that easily. And it wasn't until after my first year of college I realized that it really had nothing to do with the other people. It had everything to do with me and my own insecurities, and I just wasn't putting myself out there for people to even bring me into their circle. So I realized at that time that I had to start doing things differently, and I started looking at how I could improve my life and change things so that my outside world could be different. And that's how I started.
It's sort mm-hmm. of that it really anchors in that statement that says, wherever you go, there you are. Right?
Exactly.
Creating, you know, it's take a look at what you've been thinking and how you've been being that mm-hmm. you're creating that. Yeah, I love that. Thank you. Yeah, keep
mm-hmm.
going.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, well, so it was at that point that I started looking for, you know, self-help books and started looking at getting some spiritual guidance and mentors that could help me take a look at why my life was the way it was and not what I wanted. And it's been 30 years now I've been on that path, and it's just been getting better and better. And my life today is just absolutely phenomenal. I've been through a lot of difficulties over the years, so I know what it's like I said, to, you know, to feel really stuck and feel like things aren't working the way you want. But I've always been able to move through them because I've always gone back within myself to the source.
So let's talk about that, because I think that's so important. You know, this whole idea of you know, like recognizing when you're stuck, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
really starting to see, okay, so because when, you know, oftentimes when you're stuck, for some people, they don't realize that they have another option. You know, it's just
right. They're
stuck, right? And
mm-hmm.
it's the boss's fault, or it's the, you know, what, you know, these crappy clients, or it's my husband or spouse or partner, fill in the blank, or these kids that are driving me nuts, or my parents or my sister, you know, fill in the blank.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these people are just calling me. I don't understand. So one of the big things is about recognizing that you are creating what you're experiencing in that moment. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And that's one of the top, one of my 1-3 reasons why relationships and businesses fail is exactly that. It's when we play victim and don't take responsibility for all of our experiences that we're having. Like you said, pointing the finger and laying blame, that gives our power away. And there's nothing you can do because you have no power over the external circumstance. It's only the choices you make and how you want to respond to them.
Okay, so let's talk about that. So say you're in that space of, you know, just like frustrated and annoyed, and, you know, you're blaming somebody else. How do you step away? Just like step away.
Yeah, step away.
Back it up now.
Yeah, absolutely.
How do you detach from that? How do you detach from that when you get into that space? Or do you even get in that space anymore?
Oh, sure, I get in that space.
Okay.
I still have my ego mind will pop in and still want to point the finger, because it's always easier, you know, the initial reaction to point the finger, because then you feel like, you know, there's nothing you can do. It's not your fault. And the key is not to look for fault and not to blame anyone, not the circumstances and not yourself, because there's no one to blame. When you let go of blame, then you can start looking at what's really going on underneath.
Okay, well, let's walk us through it, because that seems
sure.
very conceptual to me and not like I don't want to say practical, but, you know, like,
right.
You know, because when you're in it, you're in it. And
exactly.
Really, it's easy to say, well, there is no blame and it's all fine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's very intellectual, but when you're in it, that's a different story.
Yeah,
for
it's
sure.
a different,
but
so, like, you gotta start with, how do we step away from, you know, just step away?
Mm-hmm. That is the first step, is to just kind of stop and take some deep breaths. And one thing that I find helpful when I'm really in that position is to do some journaling and start writing about what is it that I'm really angry about with regards to a particular individual or a circumstance. Like, what's really bothering me? Is it something I'm disappointed in? It's something that I'm feeling hurt about? But what I find, that the more I write, I uncover what's really underneath, which usually comes back to unworthiness issues, not feeling good enough, thinking the other person might not think I'm smart enough or whatever.
Right.
It usually ends up being a core issue that I've been carrying since childhood and have been working on my whole life and getting better at it, but it still creeps up.
Right. I totally get that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but it's only when you're willing to stop and take responsibility, though, when I do stop and say, okay, these are my feelings. Yes, this particular circumstance brought these feelings to the surface, or this particular individual and what they did or didn't do or what they said or didn't say may have caused this trigger within me, but they didn't actually cause the emotion. It was already there or wouldn't come out.
Yeah, they just brought it up to light.
Exactly, yeah. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, once I recognize what it is, then I can own it and put the truth on it, because those are all lies, the feelings that we're not good enough or smart enough or lovable or any of that. None of that is really the truth. So once I really see that and bring it to the light, I find it a lot easier to let it go. It doesn't have that hold on me.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, one of the things, and that's so true, it's not the truth. It's just we sure as heck believe it's the truth. In the moment.
Yeah, we do.
Truth, it's got us by, you know, the jugular, and it demands you will pay attention. Mm-hmm. To me. You will look at me now because we're triggered and we're in that moment. So one of the things that I actually really stand strongly with my clients as they're building a business, because to me, building a sacred spiritual business where you are supporting other people and you're claiming your worth and you're getting your gifts out into the world and you're standing there powerfully and you're saying, this is who I am, this is what I'm worth, okay, world, you know, support me kind of thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it takes a lot of guts to do that. It really does. And you will discover that everything that you believe about yourself will come up to be cleared out, you know, all of those.
Absolutely.
Growth opportunity, right? But it's
absolutely
an opportunity to get really present to what's in the way of what you want. So for me, the visual that I have is I say I want X, right? I want to go there. I want to have that business. I want to create this many clients. I want to have this kind of relationship with my clients or with my colleagues, or I want to offer this program. Doesn't matter what it is. I want to do this, right? And then all of the stuff will come up and you get triggered, like, well, who's going to pay you? Well, how are you going to get that many? Well, why do you think you're going to, you know, who do you think you are? You know, look at that number. They're not showing up like you thought they were going to. What happened with that? You know, and so you get this opportunity to, like, really do that clearing, because if you don't, you are going to continue to create the same stuff, which is powerlessness, helplessness, frustration, annoyance, you know, I can't do it. Okay, I quit. Forget it. It's too hard.
Absolutely.
Right.
And in the situation you're describing, that's where different conflicting situations that you're experiencing brings you into a deeper connection with yourself in those moments.
Oh, yeah.
Your true self, not the self that tries to be really loud and obnoxious.
Yes, your true self. And actually, that's an interesting thing that you said, because as you grow your business, you anchor into that truth more and more, and you define more and more who you are and what you're doing in your business. You stop listening to all of the outside shoulds, and you really start listening to your own self and that deep connection with the divine. You stop. You stop the shoulds. Anyway, so let's go back for a minute, because I think this is really powerful. For you, it's journaling, and I've done journaling, and I think it's amazing. And for me, I've done, you know, like I do tapping as well, because I think tapping is just so amazing. What other kind of suggestions do you have for people when they're in that triggered space to just step back and breathe and start to look at it from a different perspective? Because they will move through it if they step back. If you don't step back, and you stay in the trigger, you're not going to move through it. You just aren't.
Absolutely.
You're not going to heal it. And I promise you it'll come up again, right?
Absolutely. And that's the thing, you know, about feelings. It's if you don't express them in some way, in a healthy way, they don't go away. If you bury them, they're still there. They don't disappear just because you've hidden them for a while. They creep up when another situation, you know, will bring it to your attention. So, yeah, another thing that I do, which is kind of combined with journaling too, but not just writing what I'm feeling, thinking, and expressing all of that, I sometimes will have a dialogue with either my younger self, or sometimes I'll have a dialogue with my guides and ask questions. And just write whatever comes to me. I don't censor it. I don't, you know, I just write whatever comes. And when I first started doing that, to be honest, I felt like I was just writing the answers myself. But then when I'd go back and read stuff, there were things in there that were just not something I would have come up with.
Mm-hmm.
So I started to trust it more and more. And I would encourage people to try that, even if they don't believe it's possible, because you might be surprised if you just ask a question and write whatever comes. And who cares where it's coming from? If you don't believe in, you know, guides or whatever, it doesn't matter. It's coming from some part of you that has more wisdom perhaps, but it's amazing when you just ask the questions what answers show up.
Yeah, for real. You know, it's interesting, as in the beginning too, when I first started doing the automatic writing or channeled writing, that kind
mm-hmm.
of that real deep connection with the divine, with my guides, the angels, I found that it was just kind of a weird experience, you know, and then it began to be a very natural one.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted it, though. I really wanted to be able to access a higher part of myself that before in my life I hadn't either accessed or I hadn't recognized when I did, but I wanted it to be something I could actually do, not on command, but you know what I mean, like,
mm-hmm.
right?
And
yeah.
Yeah, and you brought up something really important where you said you really wanted it. And that's really key with anything that we want, is to really have that strong desire and the will. Even if we don't know how to do something,
yeah.
that comes after the commitment and the will and the intention to move in a particular direction, even if you haven't got a clue how to get to where you want to go, just by putting it out there and say, this is what I want, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to not let anything stop me. I'm going to find a way and know that there is a way, and those different ways will come to you once you set that intention.
Yeah, and that's so true. And that, you know, it's so funny because I have these conversations with my clients about, you know, when they have, say, a sales conversation with someone or a strategy session to have a conversation with someone about working with them. And for me, the number one thing that that will have someone say yes is that right there. I call it urgency. It's
mm-hmm.
how important is it to you that you do this? Because if they're like a 3 out of 10, like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, I could do it, but, you know, I'm just kind of, I've got busy, I'm busy, I've got other things
mm-hmm.
going on. There's no way. And what's
yeah.
funny is that a lot of clients will go, well, there's something wrong with me because I didn't get clients, you know, they didn't sign with me, so there must be something wrong with me. And I'm like, no, honey.
Yeah, yeah.
Not you. They don't have the hunger, and if you don't have the
exactly.
hunger, you don't create it. Like, you know, ask me to go build another business or sign on with someone to build another business. And I'm like, no, I got my
yeah,
hands.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And really, none of us really want clients that aren't willing to be committed to their own transformation, because we can only help guide and provide tools and tips and strategies and be there to support. But in the end, we each are responsible for our own transformation. Nobody can do it for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some people just aren't ready for that.
Well, it's deep work.
It is deep work. But, you know, what's really amazing is that, you know, some people shy away because they think, oh, it's hard. You know, all these emotions come up. I don't want to deal with this stuff. It's really. But in the end, if you really, really want to have an absolutely amazing life, business, relationship, there is no other way unless you're willing to go through that. And it's so worth it, because in the end, if you don't, you're kind of stuck where you are right now. And if you're not happy where you are right now, it's not going to get any better. If anything, it'll get worse.
It is going to get worse if you don't. Because you cannot keep shoveling stuff over top of your desire and the call of the divine, what you're being called to do. You just can't. You can't keep shoveling it.
You'll just be miserable, more and more miserable.
Well, and we are so incredible in our souls. We need to give ourselves opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to go in that direction. And the call just gets louder until there's sort of the divine 2x4, you know?
Exactly.
I think, you know, but that's us doing it for ourselves. It's like, hello. First of all, it's a whisper. It gets louder, louder, louder. Finally, it's a yell. And if you're still not paying attention, there's something big that happens in your life that will get you attention.
Mm-hmm. And we don't have to wait for that 2x4.
Oh, my word, no.
It doesn't have to be that painful.
It doesn't have to hurt, guys.
It doesn't have, you know, I love that saying. I don't know who came up with it, but struggle is optional.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Or suffering is optional.
Suffering
was the phrase. But, we can really, just the choices we make such a difference.
Yeah, it does. It does. So. Mm-hmm. So let's do a few more. I have like all these different ideas on how. Well, for me, when I'm triggered, I need to go and be alone, be away from the trigger. let's just talk. You know, I adore my husband. I adore him, and there are times when he will push a button. You know, I mean, we're human, right? We live with
people.
And that happens. So first thing I have to do, aside from yelling, is say, all right, look, I'm alone. I need to just calm down and just get clear about what's going on here so that I can actually have a conversation with you instead of, you know, lopping off your head. We don't want to do that because you kind of need your head, honey. So,
Absolutely. So
for me, removing myself from the situation and just being with it, thinking about it. How am I going to resolve this? How am I going to handle this? What am I going to do? And then I mull it over. Sometimes, you know, depending on the situation, if it's my husband, it's fairly quick. But if it's, say, a business situation, sometimes I need a couple days to think about my response.
Mm-hmm.
I can get back to somebody about it. So how do you, and then I will pray during that time. I will ask for help. I will look at myself and say, what is going on with me? What am I doing? What am I, you know, what is this bringing up for me? And my appropriate response, like, because sometimes the appropriate response is to take a strong stance. It really is.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
But not, you know, okay, whatever you want. You know, it's not that. It's like being strong in your truth.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you do as another thing?
Well, before I share that, I'd like to share something else that's kind of linked to it. What I've noticed around triggers is that when I have a triggering experience, whether again with my husband or if it's with somebody else, what I notice when there's a trigger event happening between people is that most often we end up going into what I call an adult state, or sorry, a child state. And that's why people often will say, well, you're just acting like a child. Why don't you stop acting like a child? You hear those comments thrown out a lot when people are having an argument or some kind of conflict is going on. And the reason is because we do drop into that child state where we don't have the rationale and the adult, you know, intellect happening. It's just thrown out the window.
I will say to my husband, what are you, 5? You know?
Yes, exactly, exactly.
What, are you 5 right now? Like, what's going on?
Yeah. So one thing that I've discovered over the years, you know, in working, you know, with conflict and things with my husband is that we recognize this, that when one person is triggered, that means they've already gone into child state.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the trigger is. You're already there. So we have an agreement between us that when we notice that somebody's been triggered and they've gone into child, that it's the other person's responsibility to remain the adult. Because often what happens is when you go into a child state, you activate the child in the other person.
Yeah.
And then you're just going at it. And we call it, you know, okay, time to get out of the sandbox. We say, okay, we're throwing sand at each other in the sandbox. Because sometimes we're both in it, right? So, but because we're aware of this, and we can laugh at it sometimes, and sometimes our agreement is whoever, if we're both in the sandbox, whoever kind of notices it first,
right,
just kind of puts their child on the shelf and tells their child, okay, just take a back seat for a moment. I'm going to just become an adult for a few minutes here and help this other child in front of me. And it's not to belittle and treat somebody like a child. It's really to understand what's going on, because it is the child's wounds that are coming up.
Yeah, it is true.
So that way the adult can actually respond, not treat, like I said, you don't talk to them like a five-year-old. You talk to them as an adult, but you recognize that they're in a vulnerable state. So, you know, sometimes, you know, if I notice Randy's gone into child, I'll just say, you know what, I noticed that what I just said really upset you. I'm really sorry. That was not my intention. What is it that you need from me right now? So that helps
that?
The child relax right away, because now
Oh, no, it does not happen like that.
What's
I
that?
Love that you have that agreement, I mean, you know. In ours, it's more like I might say that, something to that effect, but I'll get blame. He'll come back with blame at times, you know, and it doesn't happen very often.
Right.
When he gets into this certain space, it's, you know, there's like this intense focus.
Right.
It's on me.
Absolutely. That's what the child will do. We'll blame you. Absolutely.
Screwed up way, right? And then I go into the sandbox. Okay, we don't want to.
We have a tool for that too, because when I'm the one that's triggered, Randy, of course, I'm going to blame him. Everything's his fault. I wouldn't be upset if it wasn't for him, right? So what he says to himself, and what I'll do the same, is in your mind quietly, you say, "Okay, this is not about me. This is not about me. This is not about me." As you continue to just give love to this child in front of you who's having a temper tantrum sometimes.
Right.
And it really makes a difference. But the key is to not let your child get activated, because otherwise it doesn't work. It will not work if you're both in the sandbox. It will just get worse and worse, and nothing is resolved. So it takes time to build that kind of awareness. And you both have to be committed to that. I mean, both Randy and I are committed to having peace and love in our relationship, and dealing with conflict in a way, again, that brings us closer together. Because when we help one another this way, when one of us is in child and the other one is the adult, we're so much closer, because we've helped the other person resolve a wound.
Yeah, it's true.
Instead of adding to it.
Yeah.
So, you know, and again, when we first started going through this process, trust me, it was not easy. It could take like 3 hours or half a day to get through an issue that we were dealing with. And sometimes you just want to roll your eyes and throw in the towel and say, oh, forget it. It's not worth it. This is just going on and on and on. But we just stuck with it, because we knew, again, if we didn't resolve this, if we just kind of put it aside, it's never really going to go away. And it'll just be something to pile on to the next problem that might show up. So now, you know, something that might have taken me 3 hours to resolve, you know, 15 years ago, I can handle, and we can deal in 20 minutes, 5 minutes, depends, you know, on the situation. So it does take time to be able to use this tool, but it's very powerful.
You know, I really love this, because this is, I mean, and this is very, very powerful, especially in an intimate relationship like this, where you both have the agreement. I am curious to know how you would manage this in a business conflict, you know, with a client who is blaming you for something, or a colleague who's not happy with something you did, or how would you if you are committed to this,
right,
but they're not. How do you manage that? Because you're not going to be, like, you know, going into – that's just way too much, I think.
Oh, absolutely, yes. So, but one thing that – the important thing is to diffuse the – whatever the tension that's existing between you and whoever it is you're having a conflict with in business, if it's a client, a team member, whomever. And one way to diffuse things that right from the start is to just acknowledge – that this relationship is important to you, to even say something like, look, my relationship with you is really important to me, and I know that this is something that you're really upset about, and I really want to be able to resolve this, and I believe that we can if we're both committed to that. So what is it that you need from me in order to feel even at peace about this, or in order to resolve this? The key is to just not get triggered yourself, to recognize that whatever they're blaming you for, you're not at fault. They're just in their child state. They don't know what to do. They're just upset or frustrated or disappointed or overwhelmed or whatever it is. So lashing out at you is the easiest thing they can do. But if you recognize that and not take it on, and again, that takes some emotional muscle and time to develop that. But it's amazing how you can diffuse a very volatile situation just by extending love to this person. Let me give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
Many years ago, I had my own holistic private school, and I really was working with children, out-of-the-box learners. And I had a parent that called me once and was just like lambasting me on the phone, like saying all kinds of nasty things to me, and I was this, that, and the other thing. And I knew that she was just in a lot of fear because her child was experiencing some major difficulties. So she was just projecting it all onto me. Well, through the entire conversation, because I knew that, I didn't go into a defensive mode. I didn't start saying, you know, I'm doing everything I can. You don't appreciate anything I do. I didn't get into any of that because I knew it had nothing to do with me. She was just in a lot of pain and she was in fear. So through the whole conversation, I was extending love to her from my heart. I was just saying, and in my mind saying, I love you. I love you. I know that you're upset. I know this is, you know, you're in fear. Everything's going to be okay. I'm doing this in my mind. And as I responded to her, I just didn't get triggered. I didn't go into child. And I just kept saying, you know, I understand you're upset. I'm really sorry you're upset. I know we can work through this. By the end of this 20-minute call, she told me she loved me.
Aww.
I was like, and we're still friends today. That could have turned out very differently if my child got activated.
Right, right.
I mean, it could have been really nasty.
So here's the takeaway that I get from that, which is, I think, so powerful. It's the extending love from your heart, holding the space of just allowing that person to be in whatever space they are, not getting yourself, but holding the space for them to find their own way, and you continuing to give them love. I love that. I love you. I love you. And you said out loud, I know that we can find a resolution to this. I know that we can find a way through this.
Mm-hmm.
That's so powerful because you were standing in that, and even if she couldn't hear it, she heard it. You know, she couldn't hear it like consciously. She heard it consciously, subconsciously. Her spirit heard it and responded in kind. And you kept speaking to the highest part of her, which I think is so powerful. I love that.
Yeah, and if you're listening from the place of what is it that's really underneath, why are they so upset with me? Why are they blaming me for this? Instead of focusing on, they shouldn't be blaming me. I didn't do anything wrong. You know, that's not going to get you anywhere. But if you focus on them and what are they going through, trust me, your needs are going to be met too.
Well, you know, and the other thing is, I would say, I wouldn't even go into the why are they blaming me for this.
No.
You're not even present with them.
Exactly.
You're present with, why are they blaming me for this?
I don't know
what's going on here, you know, that.
Yeah.
And so you're in your head rather than being present. One of the powerful prayers that I've heard of, the Ho'oponopono prayer, which is, please forgive me. I love you. I'm sorry. Thank you. Or please forgive me. I'm sorry. Or I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I think that is like one of the most powerful things that we can do in any relationship is to hold that space when someone is in that, you know, trigger mode, right?
Absolutely.
You don't even have to say it out loud because
they won't know. They're saying, well, yeah, you're asking for forgiveness. You see, you are to blame. You know you're to blame.
That's right.
No, it's not about that.
You were guilty.
It's not about that. I always get the order of those lines mixed up, too. I got to write it down somewhere,
right.
The Ho'oponopono. But it is very powerful. And it is the same thing because it's really, like you said, it's about holding the space for the person to just express where they're at and not take it on and not take it personally. Was it Miguel, one of the Four Agreements, a book about the Four Agreements, don't take anything personally, very powerful. Not always easy to do and very powerful.
Yeah. Okay, so Elizabeth has, hello, Elizabeth. She's got a little announcement here real quick.
Hi, yes. So my little quick announcement is that the lines are open if anybody would like to call in. which I highly recommend. And the number to call is 646-668-2211 if you have a question for Marisa or for Reverend Anne. Or you can call in by Skype by clicking the little logo on top of the poster. Thank you very much.
The number again, because you had a little, blurb.
I'm going to put it in the chat box. It's 646-668-2211.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, great opportunity to ask Marisa any questions that you may want about this, or even me, but, you know, she's the relationship expert. So, you know, I know that we have the holidays coming up, and, you know, people have issues around the holiday. You know, they go back home, they see their families, the sisters, mm-hmm. the uncle says something, you know, whatever, fill in the blank. It, you know, people can get triggered around this time of year in particular. So it's a great opportunity to get a little bit of, you know, some laser coaching from Marisa or me, you know, get your calls in. So Marisa, all right, so now, mm-hmm. now you've said this, you know, the Ho'oponopono prayer, or you've stated, I know we can work this out. I know that everything's fine. I wouldn't even say that. I'd just say, I know we can work this out. I'm hearing you. I'm listening. Let me see if I understand you correctly. Is this the issue that you're talking about? That kind of thing.
Yes, validating is very important, because if you feedback, and again, you don't want to parrot and make the person feel like you're just, you know, repeating word for word what they say. But by expressing what you think they're saying, that's really important, because sometimes I'll say, okay, I think this is what you're saying to me, is did I get that right? And sometimes I didn't, and they're like, well, no, it's this. And I'm like, oh, good, I'm glad I asked. So it really is important to reflect back what you're hearing, because sometimes you're going, well, we often hear things through our own filters and our own, you know, interpretations, which can be completely off base. Sometimes we just totally misunderstand what's going on, and it's all a misunderstanding.
No, I don't do that. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, not you, but most of us.
I'm kidding. I'm really kidding.
I know you are.
No, that's great. That's great.
Yeah, and when you mentioned about the holidays, it just made me think about something I heard once too, where if you want to see how much you've grown or how much you've evolved, just go spend some time with your family.
Oh, that's nice. You know, that's interesting.
Because that, you're right, it brings up all kinds of issues. And the reason is because when our families come together, our childhood issues are like at the forefront, all wanting attention.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel
but you can be the light. You can show up with the light and just recognize. Once you start realizing when people go, you know, are in adult or child state, you see it everywhere.
Mm.
It's just like this neon light. And then you can really just give that person love.
Mm. Fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, mm-hmm. One of the things that you have said is that there is one of the ways that you can really get clear about, oh, let me just hold on before I go there. One of the things that we've talked about here, let's just highlight them. One is journal, one is breathe, one is to, you know, say a prayer for that person. One is to not get triggered and go into the sandbox. One is to, you know, to recognize that they're just triggered. It's not you. It has nothing to do with you. Like, in other words, this is not about me. 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 Another mm-hmm. one is to, for me, you know, tapping, mm-hmm. To separate myself from the space if I, you know, in that moment, so that I don't go further into the sandbox and drown us both with sand.
Right.
You know, and I also, for me, one of the ways that I can maintain that balance is by making sure that I'm doing self-care, like taking care of myself by exercise, eating right, you mm-hmm. know, because mm-hmm. if I've got a food that I have eaten that causes either some anxiety or, you know, some sort of emotional reaction, I would say, like gluten, for example, or a diet soda, which I absolutely love, but I don't drink anymore because they're really bad for me. And, mm-hmm. you know, but I notice that when I do, once in a while, I'll get a little anxious or cranky the next day. And so my fuse is shorter. And that's very interesting to me, that we are at the effect of things of our environment, but we are also at the effect of our food. And so there are things that we need to do to really manage our inner world in a way that we don't normally do.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the exercise and what we eat, for sure. And spending time in nature. I never realized just how important it is to spend time in nature, but I just so appreciate it now.
Yeah, making sure that you have the time to actually breathe and ground yourself. I mean, these are energy techniques, but they're also, you know, they're very commonplace now. Everybody talks about them. But when you really get how important they are, you will find that you don't get triggered as much. And when you do, okay, there's an opportunity for me to clear it out. But if you are running on a lot of anxiety, a lot of times you probably have some food issues, food allergies. Mm-hmm. Or I had one person I know who had some, you know, real addiction to alcohol, and she was very, very anxious all the time. She could not find her way through the anxiety and the depression, and it was alcohol related. She just, you know, every time she drank, she'd go right there, you know. So those things are so important. I know that we're talking about taking responsibility for your experiences and really owning it. But I also, you know, it's important to say that this is another piece of that. If you want to have good, healthy, wonderful relationships, you've got to take care of your body as well, because those things will affect your emotional world. And it doesn't matter how much journaling you do, you're going to feel like up and be triggered very quickly and very easily if you have something going on in your body, you know,
Absolutely.
In the of your body. So,
the same is true for people that are experiencing a lot of stress, that aren't taking time, like you said, for self-care, getting a massage, going for a walk, doing the exercise. The stress, the more stressed you are, the more volatile you become, and the easier it is to be triggered and to create triggering experiences for the people around you.
So that's a really good thing to say, because I know many, many entrepreneurs who are stressed. So sometimes they're like, you know, I can't even find the time to fill in the blank, much less go for a massage, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, get this next client or fill in, you know, do this. Like, how would you suggest to them that they just step away from the stressors? How would you suggest? Because sometimes they don't have time to sit down and journal. I mean, let's get real. They're busy managing their full businesses. So how would you suggest to them that they do a better job, but that's not quite the right words. How would you suggest to them that they step away from the stressors?
Well, you were mentioning about how, you know, people running a business, they have so many things on their to-do list and all these things to take care of, so they don't have time to have the massage. But the question is, how do they choose what to put on that to-do list and what actually gets scheduled in their calendar? And chances are they're putting things in their calendar that they believe are top priorities that are going to support them in building the business that they want. Well, I'd like to say that, you know, booking in a massage maybe once a month is actually going to help you increase your business and do a much better job when you have your strategy sessions or your meeting with clients or just doing your coaching, mentoring, whatever it is that you're doing. You're going to be in such a different space that you're going to attract more of what you want with less effort. So it's really a matter of deciding what your priorities are. It's just like the food. If you say, well, I'm too busy, I just got to grab a McDonald's burger because that's all I have time for. But if you look at the implications and the impact of those choices, it's actually a detriment to your business. So once you start to recognize that taking care of your body, whether it's through food, exercise, massage, whatever it is you need, have a me day once in a while or a me afternoon or something, even on a Sunday, take that time for yourself, you're actually... that's a priority for your business if you really want to succeed. Because let's face it, if you're just stressed out and running around like a chicken without a head, you're not going to go very far.
Yeah, it's really true. One of the things that that I think is so important is to really take a look at the things that you are doing, because you're right, who is putting that on there? You, right? You're putting those projects on, you're putting those to-do lists, you're the one who is determining the date by which it must be done, or
exactly.
If it isn't done, you know, you get stressed, etc. And part of building your business the way you want it to be so that it supports you in your life requires that you sometimes take things off the plate. It requires that sometimes you say, you know what, this project doesn't need to be done right now. I have these other things. I need to have this space around me so that I can get these things done and done well, because nobody wants to do projects that are half, you know, half done.
Right.
Or, you know, or else it takes a lot longer.
And even starting small in, like if somebody's never taken self-care, never taken time for themselves, to suggest they take a full day off a week, it's like, that's like pie in the sky. It's not going to happen. So, I mean, can you start with 5 minutes? Like just 5 minutes in the morning when you get up and just ground yourself, like just breathe, take a few deep breaths, you know, ask for guidance, do whatever short meditation. If you don't know how to do that, just even just asking for light to surround you and to surround your day and to help you with, you know, everything you do. 5 minutes, just start with 5 minutes. Or even when you go to bed, I mean, I lie in bed at night. As soon as I get into bed, I just start saying things that I was grateful for the day. That's not taking any extra time from my business. I'm just lying in bed anyways. I'm not asleep yet. So why not take a few minutes and give thanks? Because giving thanks and gratitude is also huge in terms of, I mean, we're kind of going off topic a bit. It is still around relationships, but gratitude certainly shifts things. So you can do that in the morning and at night. That doesn't take a lot of time. And that's self-care, because you're showing gratitude for what you have.
Well, I also think that that level of gratitude shows up in your relationships, because
absolutely,
many people do not really recognize and thank the people that they're either in relationship with or mentoring or you know, in an intimate relationship with, and they don't really thank that person for how wonderful they are or what they did. You know, all of those things. Like, excuse me, this weekend my husband, you know, really amazing man. We went to the pool. It was actually warmer. That it's gotten cooler, but we went to the pool. And when I got back from the pool, because I stay and swim laps, he had already started, you know, lentil soup. And the next day when I got home, he had washed our cars, you know, and went to the grocery store and gotten, you know, what we need. And then while I was working, because I had to, we had our Divine Diamond retreat, a virtual retreat on Monday, so I was getting ready for that on Sunday. And while I was working, he was in the other room juicing things, and he was, you know, taking care. I mean, he just took care of so many things, and I was like, make my life so smooth and so easy. Thank you so much. You know, all the car and it's filled up with gas. Like, he just does that. You know, he's and I am always telling him thank you for, you know, these wonderful things that he does for me, because, you know, I'll lay in bed and I'll think, oh, thank you for this incredible man that I'm sharing my life with. Every time I don't do this when we're in the sandbox together.
No, but the more you do it when you're not in the sandbox, the less you get in the sandbox, right?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And giving and appreciating, again, in your business, the people that you're working with, just thanking them for being in your life and for what they bring to you. I mean, that's,
you know,
also...
That there's an appreciation that I have for my clients. I adore my clients. I think they're so incredible. And I want them to be successful. You know, I will help them in any way I can. And I remember being in a mentorship arrangement with someone before this that was, I was their client. And I remember feeling like that person was always just trying to go get more clients. She wasn't really appreciating the clients that she had right then and there. She was always just like, you know, always reaching out to find the next client, it was like, wow, really? You know, like those are right here, you're not even present with. When she was present in the calls, I don't mean it like that, but I just mean like a difference. It was like an absenteeism energetically in when you know what I mean.
I do.
Was such a great lesson for me in how I don't want to run my business. And I don't mean anything, you know, there was a lot of wonderfulness with it too. But that was one of the things that I recognized that is so important for entrepreneurs to really appreciate their team members, appreciate their clients, appreciate who they have in their lives, their friends, their colleagues, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. And not just quiet appreciation, but let them know you appreciate them, because that's two different things. To, you know, it's wonderful to say to yourself, you know, I really appreciate it, and I do that, and it's people like to hear it too.
Yeah, they do. You know, Elizabeth just sent me a note saying go to the gift because we are running low on time. So I want to just give you an opportunity to share with everybody here what your gift is.
Okay. Well, my first gift is a special report called Five Keys for Transforming Conflict into a Deeper Connection. And although the report is focused on intimate relationships, the keys that are there and the tools and strategies can really be used in any relationship where you're having conflict. They're very, very powerful. These are things that my husband and I do all the time, and we often will tell each other if we didn't follow these ourselves, we don't even know if we'd be together today. And if we were, maybe not quite so happy. So very, very powerful keys. And that can be, that report you can download at www.magnificentrelationships.com. And I do have a second offering for those of you who are in relationships that might be struggling, not maybe where you want to be, you want to stay in the relationship, but you're not feeling as happy as you'd like to be. I have a relationship renewal breakthrough session. And you can get that at the magnificentrelationships.com/relationship renewal breakthrough session. And that's hyphenated, the relationship renewal breakthrough session. Maybe Elizabeth can put it in the chat box because it is a long URL. But that will give you an opportunity to have a 45-minute free consultation with me where we can really take a look at the relationship that you're in right now, what's working, what's not working, what might be in the way of you really having what you want in that relationship. What do you want? Because a lot of times, believe it or not, people think they know what they want, but when I start asking them deeper questions, they start to realize they don't have the clarity that they really need to be able to create it. So, and then again, of course, leading with strategies that you can implement right away that can really improve the quality of your relationship.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I did with my husband was, as a wedding gift, I gave him this list of ideal partner characteristics that I had created before I met him and that he actually fulfills. And I had put it in calligraphy and framed it. And it's up on our wall in our bedroom. But I see it every night before I go to sleep, and I see it in the and it always reminds me of who he is. It's that higher vision of who. And I highly recommend doing that, getting clear about who that person is and telling them thank you, like really having that higher vision of who they are for you. It will transform.
And I like the way, sorry, go ahead.
That's all right. Go ahead.
No, I like the way you talked about the qualities, because that's the key, is the qualities that you want in your partnership, in your partner and in your partnership.
Yeah, it's
the relationship itself.
It's not how tall they are, what color their hair is.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, their characteristics.
Okay. Yeah, what's really important to you. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Marisa, thank you so much. I do want to, I'm so grateful for you and so grateful for your being here on the call today on the show. It's been incredible. And we had a lot of fun, a lot of laughter and great ideas on how you can make a difference in your relationships, whether your business or your personal relationships. Please remember to go to magnificentrelationships.com for her free gift, or magnificentrelationships.com relationship renewal breakthrough session hyphenated for a breakthrough with Marisa, a breakthrough session complimentary. I also want to invite all of you to this joint venture giveaway that we will be hosting in January, the month of January. We will be, we have a teleseminar call about it next week. You can go to divinelyconnectedbizlive.com, and there's a gift for you there as well. If you want to learn more about how a joint venture can help you build your business and help you build your list, help you and help you get ready for a joint venture, because many people want to do it, but they're not quite sure what they need to do. Well, we have a great little checklist for you that you can get when you go to divinelyconnectedbizlive.com. You'll be able to access that that gift. Sorry. When I laugh, it starts to bring up things, so I end up coughing and stuff. So I would love to see you on the call next week, divinelyconnectedbizlive.com. That will be on Tuesday. Even if you can't make it live on the call, you can still get the checklist, but we need you to sign up so we know who wants the checklist, right? Who wants the information of the call. And next week we have, I believe it's Maddie Brown. Is that correct, Elizabeth, our guest?
I was on mute. Yes, we have Maddie Brown. Yes.
Brown is going to be talking about how to get ready for your finances, your divine finances for 2014, because most of us have tax, our tax season is coming to the end. We have 4 months to get ready, but we have, Maddie's my own accountant, and she's fabulous. She's absolutely fabulous. And she's fun, and we're going to have a lot of interesting tidbits on the call next week. So you want to be on that call. It will affect your money in a good way. So, all right. Thank you, everyone, for being here live with us on the call. Thank you for listening in the on the webcast. And thank you, those of you who are listening later. We're really grateful for you. Grateful for you being here with us live. So now, take in a nice deep breath. Know that you are divinely guided in each moment, in each relationship, in everything that you do. Connect with that guidance. Allow it to shine forth. Allow it to take you where it is that you, your own spirit, knows that you are to go. Allow it to guide you in each step of your business and your relationships. Take that now. Go into your week, and we'll see you on the call next week. Thank you so much for being here. Have a great week, everyone. Go get your divine on. Bye now.
This episode of the Divinely Intuitive Business Show has been sponsored by the Divine Business Club, the only place where divine intuitives like you can get proven business building advice on how to get your sacred gifts out into the world and make the impact and the money that you want to make for less than $1 a day. For more information, go to www.divinebusinessclub.com.